Hi, and welcome to the Bits and Trees podcast. I'm your host, Matt Machuga, and joining me today is the founder and geek at arms of Vets Who Code, Jerome Hardaway. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
So if you don't mind, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Roger that. I am, of course, my name is Jerome Hardaway. I am a Air Force veteran that was security forces, and I use a discipline from military to transition into software engineering. And while I was doing that, I created, alongside of that, a side project that turned into a full a distributed nonprofit called Vets Who Code, in which we identify veterans that have the same grit and determination and teach them how to program with the like JavaScript, preferably MernStack and Jamstack at zero cost for them.
So were you trained at all in software engineering in the military, or were you straight combat?
I was a combat veteran. I have no software engineering skills prior to the military or during the military. I was security forces. I was a part of the Phoenix Raven program for about a year and a half, and that is literally what I've done. I'm not never touched a computer while I was in the military.
What made you get into software development after you got out?
The recession and money. Basically, what was going on was when I got out of the military, the Great Recession was going on. I had no idea what the recession was. Military was its own bubble. But once I was out of the military, I realized that my skills in the military that would translate to law enforcement wouldn't work because government wasn't hiring, and the only real jobs I was truly qualified for was like security guard or going back overseas in private military. And I didn't want either one of those options. So I actually just ended up learning how to program. I had a book that someone had gave me like years ago that I never really picked up that was on databases and MySQL. I decided to, go through that book and read through that and start applying things that I saw, and then turn around and end up getting my first job, Department of Homeland Security, as a SQL, as a database analyst using SQL. So that was my first step.
Nice. So what motivated you to start moving towards web development and helping others get into it?
What motivated me was a little bit of forest, a little bit of I enjoy it more as well. First thing, I ended up moving back to my hometown after about a year near my duty station, and ended up getting this job as I was supposed to be a digital marketing, just working in digital marketing for this nonprofit. But when you're young, I'm about 26 at this time. When you're young, the first thing that old people say is, hey, you're young, you should be able to figure out this internet stuff. And they tell you to fix their website. And you're like, you don't ask me to, help you connect to the Wi-Fi or nothing, just straight up fixing the website. Okay, cool. So I was given 3 months to clean, jazz up the website, learn everything I could about this, crazy proprietary CMS that they had, rebuilt the website from scratch. And that was my first time learning about CMSs, learning about PHP, and learning to hate both. that was my first, foray into the world of web development. And I kind of never looked back, because particularly with front end, that's always been my main passion, because it's storytelling in a way that the user actually cares. It's very funny. I think we've had this conversation, but I'm a very tactical person when it comes to things. And I'm very in tune with the user, and the user, the normal user, everyday user, does not care what's running the back end. They just want to make sure that it's fast and it's pretty. And, the slower it is, the prettier it better be, right? So, only developers care about, what's running the back end, and they don't care about if the website is ugly. I mean, if you don't believe me, look no further than the websites that developers use, GitHub, Stack Overflow. I'm throwing shots at both of y'all. developer centric sites tend to be ugly in nature. So like, but users, they want something, they want their UI to be appealing. So that's kind of what really gravitated me towards that. Like, that's what the user wanted. I've always wanted to be that guy that was, had something that people were looking at. Like, you could look over at Starbucks and you're seeing somebody, looking at something on your website. I actually had that happen, like, 2 months ago, where somebody was like on their phone reading an article on comic book, and like, I was like, oh snap, I wrote the code for that website, and they're like just chilling here reading that website. I'm like, yo, I'm not gonna say anything, but on the inside, I'm like, doing the Carlton dance, and like, I'm super happy about it. Bad thing about when you're writing on a popular web app, though, is that, when you have friends and family and like significant others that freaking like love the stuff too, they will at you in real life about things they don't like. So like, literally, my significant other, she one day noticed a browser issue when she was in another app, when she opened it within that app, and she literally just calls me and is like, yo, this isn't right, I need you to fix it. I'm like, you're not, I thought you weren't my boss, so I guess you are. Like, I feel some type of way about this right now. I'm like, yeah, she just took my man card. Okay, cool. Like, I guess this is equality. This is what it feels like. so like that, like that's the best. But that it was still like I laugh about it. Tell all my friends. I came. I went to stand up. I was like, yo, I got yelled about this last night. So I guess we need to put this on the Jira board. And they were like, who yelled at you? And I was like, my girl, my lady, she yelled at me. They were like, really? My boss, like, yo, I like her already. I was like, yeah, thanks. Okay. But like that,
Nice.
and that's the beauty of being like in this industry, though. Like, have things that touch in like all aspects of your like relationships and friendships and, community. That's pretty, it's a pretty cool, pretty dope, thing. So that's why, web development particularly has always, been the thing that I like. So.
Nice. So what led you to start looking into things like building Vettu code?
Building Vettu code was simply, it's what you're supposed to do, right? Once you, if you, particularly if you come from a harder background, a harder path, is you're supposed to, create breadcrumbs or leave a ladder behind and help the other guy up. And Vettu code is my way of doing that. It's a relatively small project and side project turned into a relatively small nonprofit that has really big metrics. But the same purpose has always been the same, like, the making sure that I was leaving breadcrumbs or creating an avenue for people who, they weren't cash flow positive or they didn't have. When I started Vettu Code, code schools weren't looking at veterans as a form of revenue for their GI Bill. And, when, so I was trying to help people who, couldn't fit that. Even to this day, like, we still end up doing cool things and, being a direct competitor to code schools now that they have the GI Bill, because they have the GI Bill, but we just have better resources and connections because, the work we do is where people know that it's a labor of love. We're 100% veterans, which means we can't accept the GI Bill. If it's all volunteer force, we only raise the amount of money needed to operate things, and we have nothing, but we have the deck is stacked when it comes to that Vettu Code. Like, from the students, from the alumni that are still helping and doing things, to the leadership team, to the mentors, to the board, it's stacked. We have Brian Holt and Kyle Shevlin on our board of directors, and both those guys are rock stars in the JavaScript education community. Our mentors, we have people from Apple, from Facebook, from NBC. Actually, one of the mentor who works at NBC, he is heading up our pre-work team. So he heads up our Facebook group with the sole purpose of getting new recruits up and running, so that way they can go through the interview phase to get into Vettu Code. So like, that is, these are the type of people that we attract. So it's weird conundrum because, you know, you can go, the civilians going down the street paying $13,000 and you can pour, you know, the $13,000 out of your GI Bill too. But, you know, the harsh reality is even if you do that, you're still not going to get as elite community relationships and education as you would, you know, coming through VWC. And that's what we always wanted. That's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to create for those who have the grit and determination and want to make the sacrifice, something that would make it, you know, super worth it. And, you know, that's what we're doing with this whole, well, with this little crazy project. That's super fun. Like, you know, it's the thing that I think the downside of it is people just expect that because they're veterans, they should be able to get in. And we're like, that's not how we do that, because harsh reality is people in the industry aren't going to let you in because you're a veteran. So we have to strip you of that mentality, like right now. Like I have to get that out of your system that you're not going to be given a favor in this industry just because you're a vet. They're going to, you know, they're going to see if you can do it. Do you have the aptitude? Are you okay? How do you handle failure? How do you debug? They want to, you know, this is the highest paid, you know, white collar skill based job out there in the world. And they're going to put you through their paces. So it's best for me to, you know, put you through your paces now versus, you know, treat you like, you know, a homie or a friend, and then you get put through your paces later on. And then I've done a disservice to you by not prepping you, by making you, you know, make it the training hard so that the fight is easy, in that retrospect or that aspect of the game.
So one thing that I find mind blowing about this whole thing is that you are also employed while trying to run this nonprofit. So it seems like you have two full-time jobs. Is that pretty accurate?
It feels like that some days. It depends on what happens. Like, it's really, I'm really grateful for CBS because they hired me knowing that I had this job, or this huge side project. And I was like, you know, the hardest thing, and the people don't understand how hard it is for people to do this, like, where, especially in nonprofit game, like, people are really weird about nonprofits, like, in mm-hmm. general. They either expect you to make zero, they expect you to make no money, or for somebody, some magical fairy, to pay all the bills, and, or, you know, they don't want anything. Oh, you didn't get any money because you didn't, you know, you weren't a good product. I'm like, no, you can have the best product in the world and still not have anything. You just, people spend a lot of time working relationships to get grants and things of that nature. And we try to keep as much big money out of it so that we can keep things pure. Like, it couldn't be, I've had opportunities for $100,000, $300,000 opportunities that I've like said no to because I want to make sure that the program stays pure. I have, my volunteer team is, I honestly feel like my volunteer team is the best team that I could have. Like, if someone was to come in and say, you know what, we're just going to hire the entire VetsuCo leadership mentor team, that would probably be like the smartest thing that they could do, because, you know, we have guys, most of the people between the volunteer mentorship team are within the top 50 companies or the top Fortune 500 companies in the country. So that's pretty cool when you have like that huge majority of like real talent just working together for one purpose. You know, we have USAA, USA Today, NBC, Apple, Facebook, CBS, Amazon. We have these people from all over, Microsoft, working for the sole purpose of like just making, you know, a better product. And they really helped me. Well, you know, and the better I get as a programmer in regards to like the processes and things I learned, and that's the best thing with CBS, is that the better I became as an executive director and like a lot of distributed work, like it went from me doing everything to me delegating and me now making teams. Like, we have a code pen team. I don't even touch our code pen. Like, my code pen team, they are like Carla and Jacob and John. They are, all three of them are grads. All three of them have crazy cool jobs, and they all have done really cool things. Carla is the first grad to not only get a job in web development, but she's actually on her second job, and she actually is writing an article now on how she got this job. They actually gave her a lead developer position. She had two job offers. The one for it was for a lead developer position, and she took that job because it was more money. Realized that she didn't like that job, was able to still salvage the relationships with the other job offer and go to the job that she really liked. It was maybe less money because she enjoyed their stack more. So I asked her, like, yo, you have to write that up because, like, I know people that have been in the game for 20 years gonna be like, how you did that? So, yeah, John, he was our longest move. In regards to like people who like when they got their first job, he was actually working in New York, and then he ended up getting his first job in tech, and it was in San Francisco. So he was our well, no, he was our second biggest move. We broke that record recently. So he was our second biggest move from one side of the country to the other of someone going from a job for his program that we were in. Jacob was the second person to ever have their first job not be entry level at VetSuco, and that was a crazy metric that we hit last year, considering how much money, like considering we max raised like $5,000, $6,000 a year to have, several troops go from their first job being mid and senior level JavaScript engineers. That was a really big deal. And so he ended up getting his first job in tech and was a mid, he was getting paid mid-level JavaScript engineer. And I was like, yo, that's crazy. So these three, they kind of run the code pen team. Then we have a product team. Then we have mentor team. We have two forms of our mentor team. We have cohort mentorship, which, all those mentors are strong at JavaScript. Then we have continuing education where they can know JavaScript, but they can also have other passions such as like Azure or like cloud services or Go or Rails, things of that nature. So for our continuing to help the troops after they get out of cohort when they get their jobs, that way they can still they can have just explore other pathways, right? It's like the cohort's basic. Then you get to like look at other different things after basic, but everybody at the minimum has to learn MernStack and Jamstack, right? So we have to give you this great foundation so that we know whatever like location you go, you can do the basics, right? You can do Git, command line. Distributed workflows, like how to use Kanban and how to use Git flow. You know how to do a PR. You know how to do a code review. These things that you don't even learn at some code schools. So with that, that's how we. You know, that's what we do. That's how we do that. Then we have our pre-work team. We just started our communication development team. They're working on some cool technologies that we got access to from Twilio. It's a crazy amount of, we have six teams total, I think. Education, which is the team I pretty much lead in. Yeah, people are like, yo, like it's like an iceberg. You see a website, but in the Slack channel, it's like you're watching. It's beautiful sometimes. Like I go into a code pen channel and I just lurk and I just watch them work together. Like, yo, it's like a fine oil machine in here. And then, we have a half and half aspect with our board. I want half of our board to be non-technical and half of the board to be technical. And that's what I've been really focusing on is having, yesterday we had Kyle Shevlin, and there was a, veteran asking, having a question, with an issue with his editor, like basically not connecting to his node and asking him to do some crazy stuff with his node modules every time. And, Kyle was able to just jump in and like talk to the veteran, debug and stuff. And it was the coolest thing ever because you're like, not many nonprofits have board members that can jump in, boots on ground, and help. Usually board members are there strictly for relationships. For us, it's relationships and aptitude. Like, yeah, you have to be connected. But I also want you to be able, to know, what the hell's going on. And that's one of the things why we have it technical, because we're on Slack. I can't expect every board member to know how to use Slack, properly and adequately. So having at least half of them technical, they can report what they see when we're in board members, and they can verify things because they're seeing that, and you know, they're seeing that stuff asynchronously in real time. So like that is, you know, that was part of the plan, was let's have these people in here who are on the board but who are also technical, so they can see, you know, they're interacting with the students all the time. They see how the students talk, they see how the students ask questions, they see the rapport that the students have. Like we had a situation like a year ago where during class, the students, like, they saw a picture of me, a headshot of mine. They're like, yo, this is like a stock photo. So they had like a, so they literally had a meme contest in class, like real time in class. I'm teaching them stuff and they're slacking. And, you know, this is how we teach CSS Grid is, you know, they want to play with memes. So like, now I want you to put this meme in a CSS, all these memes in CSS Grid. And like someone started pulling up the memes from yesterday. I pulled the memes up from the class yesterday, and people are still laughing and thinking this is the funniest thing. Like people are like, "What class was this?" I was like, "No." Like when I was teaching everything, I was like homework king. So I let them make fun of me, but they got homework for it. So that's how you made, you know, that's how I made it strong. Fair. That's how I made strong developers. I had one troop, never saw Dragon Ball Z. I made him do a full project on Dragon Ball Z. Like, you're not, like, how old are you? And you never saw Dragon Ball Z? Like, no one in the barracks introduced you to this? Like, you don't have any good friends? Like, no one loves you in your life? Okay, cool. Yeah, you're doing an assignment on Dragon Ball Z tonight. So, like, that's what your homework is. Like, it was, like, it was, that's how I, you know, because I truly believe that in the end, to truly grasp programming, you can't just do theory and stuff. You have to build things that you're passionate about. Because when you see what a crowd, it solves problems that you care about, it sticks better. So I always gave like the first thing I do when I teach, I make them write all their hobbies and things that they like, and I make sure now their portfolio is going to be geared towards solving problems that are important to them. So, like, you know, that's how I do it. Like, you know, please don't make another godforsaken calculator or another React Weather app for, like, you know, don't make another cookie cutter React Weather app. I know, you know, everybody does that. It teaches good things. Just you know how to use an API. That API is free and relatively inexpensive. I understand that. But for the love of everything that is beautiful, you know, make it a little personal, make it a little different. I love Carla because she did like a project that was based upon her love of her dogs and her dogs. Like, so every dog, like she had an animation. So her dogs were moving and, you know, every page.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like every page, the dog had a different costume and stuff. She had one dog in dress blues. I literally shed a tear. Hell, like my babies, they grew up so fast. It was so funny. Like, I loved her project. Like, this is awesome. John, I never forget the first time he made, like, he was just playing with Font Awesome and animation. And he made a icon that was a F-35, I think, because he was an aircraft maintainer. Mm. So he made an aircraft, he made an F-35 aircraft, and then when you like clicked the icon, it would fly away. And I was like, yo, that's the most baller thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, yeah, that's the thing, when they do things like that and they see the most, like, the actual excitement, it motivates them to do something good. Like, instead of making them do a project that I've seen a million times, like, I, you know, everyone is a you know, in particularly in this political time, so like everybody is a little perfect little snowflake, and it's really awesome when you see the things that make them different, and then you mm-hmm. tell them, go build something around that thing that makes you different. Like, right. Show me what makes you different and build a thing about that. Like,
it's a really powerful idea.
Yeah. So that's how we approach it. And like I said, I'm nothing without my team, like from the board, the mentors, the alumni, especially last year, the grads, they stepped up in such a huge way. It was just amazing. And I was like, wow. Like, so I think that's why people see most of the time I'm happy and stress-free, because I have like a rock star volunteer team behind me and a rock star board and like, you know, keeping things in check. You know, it's real, you know, when you have Kyle and like, I think that's the best thing, having Kyle and like Brian, they're people who, you know, Kyle went to No, he was going, I think he was a pastor at one point, and he transitioned to code. And Brian's a college, you know, dropout. And, you know, he's doing all these cool things with React and Microsoft. And he was on the LinkedIn team, and he was on the Netflix team, and he was on the Reddit team. So he understands every aspect of going from like literal college dropout to being a guy getting paid like a bunch of money to do talks about technology. So he, you know, he has a really good understanding and bandwidth of the entire process. And they would keep me level-headed and keep me, you know, frankly focused on the things that matter, which is why, you know, your team is the most important thing around, because, you know, it's real easy to get focused, to lose focus on the things that are, you know, not important.
Right. It just blows my mind even further that, you know, you maintain a full-time job while maintaining a company that has this many people in it. Because just looking at the website, I could tell there were a number of people involved, but now my mind's blown. I didn't realize there were this many.
Oh, yeah.
Do you actually sleep?
Yeah, I actually do. I sleep from 10:30 to 4:30. So nice. I'm up 4:30 a.m., like clockwork Monday through Friday, and I'm in the office by 6:30. I use the Podoromo method where I'm doing 25 on, 5 off, and I try to do a task at a time at 25 minutes. I attack a task, and it's really like when you do the idea of like, you know, that going into that destroyer mode on tasks, especially those like that, as far as 2 hours in a day, you feel so accomplished that even when you take the gas pedal off a little bit, you're coasting, you still feel accomplished. Like I write down my three biggest tasks of the day, and then, you know, I crush those tasks. And then after that, everything after that, I can coast and take my time and find, you know, joy in it, you know, do the tidying up method. So
I think it was last year you said you only did $5,000 of fundraising.
Well, yeah. Every year our primary goal is to get $5,312. That pays for all the costs for operating a nonprofit and costs for all the tools that we use. That's literally it. And last year we did $3.2 million in salaries off of that, because like I said, everybody's a volunteer. And then the year before that, we did, we did $2 million. The first year we did $1.2 million. And like we just, every year it just gets more, we generate higher and higher salaries. And this year our process was like, this was the first year that we had people getting jobs, like getting mid and senior level jobs. Last year was the longest process of having someone go from, in regards to travel. One of our veterans, he actually got both records. He got the highest paid position of last year, and he also had the farthest distance of going from one place to the next for a job. He ended up becoming a senior software engineer for Verizon. But he started in Finland, and we ended up getting him all the way to Texas. So we helped him with his journey all the way from Finland to Texas and helped him get a job, and he ended up getting there. And, you know, he was such a hard worker, and it was so funny because I almost did not accept him twice. One, off the fact that the first time he hit me up, I thought he was a troll. I thought, you know, like, yo, this is like fake news. This is a Russian bot trying to come out and get me. Like, look, I don't know no secrets. Go away. Who sent you? Whatever. Blocked. And he was like, no. That's not it. I was like, oh, okay. All right, cool. Let me hear you out. And the second time it was like, you know, he was a test. He was a challenge of my own will and abilities. Like, do I have the bandwidth? Do I have the willingness to invest and, you know, pour into a person to help on a challenge this hard? This is a hard challenge. Like, yo, mm-hmm. I am going to try to support somebody in their journey and be there and be their number one cheerleader from Finland to America. Like, that's no joke. Like, oh mm-hmm. my goodness. Like, he went to Finland for a contract at a college, met the love of his life there, was married her, you know, stayed there, and then like his he had to come back home for family reasons and realized that he didn't have a skill that could be quickly transferable to get a job, and decided he was going to learn JavaScript. And you know, this whole journey of deciding I want to be closer to help my family, my aging parents, and you know, my wife won't be able to work when we initially get there, and going from, you know, so I need to learn JavaScript and learn programming to, you know, go on this path. That is just, you know, it was a crazy story. And like we end up doing and like helping them meeting, you know, relationships, connections, interviews, everything, you know, so many people saying no to him because, you know, he just, it was too fantastic, too big of a risk. And we finally got to the point where people, like, he was just so good that people couldn't ignore him, and they, you know, gave him a shot. And you know, he's been at that job for at least 6-7 months and couldn't be happier. And I couldn't be happier. It's like, any, like, when they win, I win. You know, every time they win. Because I'll tell people all the time, I remember the first time I pitched an idea. I was at the old nonprofit I worked in. I was like, why don't we, you know, add a different, another segment where we teach veterans how to do technology. And this was before the code boom burst and like people were helping code schools get GI Bill, everything. And everybody in that room looked at me like I just spoke like Chinese or something. Like no one could understand anything I said. Like, and you know, I remember that story that day every time one of them get a job. I'm like, yo, there are people out here in some of these nonprofits, some of these boards didn't even think that you had a capability to do this type of stuff. And you know, I'm the type of person, I don't know if everybody works well with that, but I'm the chip on the shoulder person. Like, you know, you have to, if you piss me off or say that I'm not good enough to do something, like you're going to get the most amazing product. But if you're like positive and stuff on me, around me, like I'm not going to be motivated. I tell people all the time, like, don't gas me up. I like running on E. Like I'm that guy. Like, you know, you have to bully a little bit to, like, I'm that, you know, I'm that fighter that you had to slap a few times to get him in the ring and be aggressive. Like, I can't be your friend, like, right now. I gotta go in there and, like, you know, murder a guy. So like that's how I've always been. So whenever they win, I think about that room of, you know, FedEx executives and stuff who didn't think that veterans could learn how to write code back then. Like, I was like, oh, and now look at you. I got operators that know how to write code. That's super cool. Mm-hmm. Right. So, no, it's just, it's a really gratifying, like, mission. So, I'm, you know, you said about doing it for free, and I would like to piggyback on that. I don't feel like I do it for free because I learn so much. Like, I straight up, like, they feed off of each other. The skills and things I learned at Vetsu Code made me better for CBS, and working at CBS made me better at Vetsu Code. So both things feeding to each other. Because of Vetsu Code, I was able to build the relationships and network and mentorships to be able to accelerate my programming abilities at a level that, you know, people weren't, you know, at an abnormal rate, right? Because I was able to have this direct access to really, you know, hot developers. But, you know, learning the infrastructure of a billion-dollar company, seeing what it takes to make a, you know, million-dollar product helps me now go in. Like, when I talk about those teams and stuff, it's because I work at the number 7th internet media property on the planet. So I have learned a lot of things, and now I can go into my little nonprofit project and be like, hey, we're going to do things this way, because I have just seen a, you know, a company that, you know, made $10 million off ads and stuff in like a week or something. Like, freaking, let me help you with this. So, mm-hmm. You know,
so I absolutely love the people portion of this. The care you take to make sure everybody's placed, to get them trained up on what they need to know to get in there. But I want to focus on the things that you train them. I stumbled across your program on Twitter based on a discussion on the kind of things that you teach in the program. So you are very strongly in favor of JavaScript and the things that can be taught with it, and the goals that can be taught with it. Can you explain why you chose JavaScript? And I'm trying to remember like everything that we discussed in the pre-call, because it was all like phrased so well, you know?
Yeah, sure. reason why I chose JavaScript is because I'm a very tactical person. I still keep the things that I learned in combat sports and in the military at the forefront of my mind, even when I'm looking at, you know, anything from buying, you know, groceries to programming. And in the end, when it came to making a decision of what language we were going to teach, I could have easily chose Ruby because that was the language I was happiest with. It was a language that I enjoyed. But when it came to how do we, in a distributed method, quickly rev people up to where we can teach both theory and product, and the end goal of helping them get jobs, the tactical choice was JavaScript. You know, in the military, when I was serving, I don't know if these guys like have changed weapons or anything. My primary weapon was the M4A1 carbine, and I loved that weapon because it could do pretty much most of the things that my job required. You could take the buttstock, make it smaller, go and start doing, you know, close quarters combat, clearing buildings. You can prolong the buttstock, and you can start doing long range, handle long range situations. Add ACOGs. You can add red dots. You can do anything you can to make this weapon more effective based upon your needs. It was highly customizable. That's what JavaScript is to me. JavaScript is the M4A1, and it basically makes it's a super customizable tool that you can do everything from. I can teach theory, I can teach product, I can help them build a product that can, you know, reinforce those theories. I can help them build products that get hiring managers to look at them. I can help them build products and learn theories that will, you know, create the right code smells for engineering managers that are going to be looking to hire them, so that way they can pass the interview process and they can also contribute to a team. Because the number one issue on most teams is that JavaScript moves so fast that the people either can't keep up or don't want to keep up. And the problem that we're also solving is in regards to, like, hey, guess what? You have a Java developer that doesn't want to learn JavaScript because in his head it's a toy language, but it's JavaScript's eating the world, but he's not going to learn, you know, the major scopes of ES6, much less React. You know, well, here I have is this, you know, shit hot React developer who, you know, loves every part of the stack. Excuse me, loves every part in the stack in JavaScript, and you can throw him in there and let him be the expert on the JavaScript side. You can let your Java dev that doesn't want to evolve, but if you force him to learn JavaScript, he could just leave for another job for $10,000 more and do the exact same thing he was doing at your job. And guess what? Now you have retained one guy while, you know, still getting your expert. So that's what, you know, that's what we do. And, you know, when we're thinking about it, like I said, it's real easy to say that, hey, you should teach this language because I like this language and people are still getting jobs in this language. And, you know, it's really dumb that code schools aren't doing this. But you're not thinking about the install fest. You're not thinking about the stress it is of learning more than one language at the same time as a newbie. Like, people forget, like, especially developers have the shortest memory on earth. They do not remember how scary it was to, like, write their first line of code, or mm-hmm. how scary it was to put something in production on the internet. Like, I remember those days of waiting till like midnight before a code push, because I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, holy crap, if something's messed up, I need to be able to roll this thing back fast. Like, none of that really comes into play. So you have to try to get people to understand, like, okay, so tell me, how are you going to solve this problem for a person in Finland and make them product ready, job ready by the time they get to America? And they don't have that answer, or they don't care for that answer. So it's one of those things where you have to listen to people and make them feel important, but also take it a grain of salt, because especially if they're popular, they'll, you know, all their friends and stuff will come in and you're like, but none of you guys have thought this through. You guys are looking at it from your point of view and not from what, the term I like to use is glocal, which is like, you know, global and local combined. You're not looking at it from, like, you know, I'm looking at my backyard, but I'm also thinking about dudes on the other side of the country. And that's why I like JavaScript Fit, because everybody needs it. Everybody needs a JavaScript guy. Everybody needs somebody who knows how to write good CSS. And I don't mean like CSS with like a framework like Bootstrap or something. I mean like CSS and they understand BIM, or they know like the basics of like, you know, how border box and the difference between why you don't use, when do you use margin, when do you use, I'm brain farting this right now because I've been thinking about it so much, like how to teach the difference between like different parts of CSS and why to use one thing. It's like, when do you use margin, for instance, or when do you, you know, what's the difference between M and rem and pixels, and like, when, you know, what's the best part, or like how to build mobile first correctly and things like that, or, you know, smacks and what all these other CSS methodologies and just good design. Like, you know, one of the things we are adding into our curriculum for it is like refactoring. There's a book from some of the guys that wrote Boma called Refactoring UI, and we've been poring over this book, looking at it, and you're like, hey, you know, these are some really good ideas, like, you know, starting with a feature before, you know, going, like, don't focus on the layout, start on the feature. Feature is what you need, that's the most important thing, you know, start minimalist, things of that nature. Like, all these were really good ideas that we were like, hey, you know, this is stuff, and that's what we do. Like, part of that budget, like part of that $5,000 just goes to finding things that we absolutely have to do buy, and, you know, we have to buy it. Everybody has to read this right now. Like, you know, I'm that engineer, that leader. Like, the first thing I did when I found out that Spotify had discipline equals freedom on its as spoken word on Spotify, I freaking made everybody in the leadership team listen to it. I made all the mentors listen to it. I was like, oh, that's, you don't have an account, that is fine, because we have an extra Spotify account, and here you go. I have it saved as a playlist. You can listen to it. Have fun with that. You're not getting out of this. So, like, that is, like, that's me. Like, you know, Eloquent JavaScript. The new version of Eloquent JavaScript is amazing and 15 times better than the second edition. Like, the second edition was still had a style of being very computer science-y, and he was speaking to the audience of people who had already been like programming in other languages for like 10, 15 years. This one is amazing because it's coming from the point of view of like, hey, yo, I'm speaking to rookies. So the industry has changed. You know, my book is heavily recommended to newbies, and the harsh reality is the average new person doesn't get past like chapter 7 of second edition of Eloquent JavaScript, because it's so dry, so boring, so complex that it doesn't really give them value, versus just going, you know, he's losing bandwidth to people that would just go to the MDN, the freaking MDN. Like, I am so, I tell my like troops all the time, like, I am so jealous of you. Like, when I was growing up, we didn't have all this stuff. Like, when I was starting the game, like, you had, when I was first learning JavaScript and jQuery and stuff, you pretty much had like a no man's land with some jerk saying that, oh, it's a toy language and it'll never, you know, it'll never amount to anything. And so all of us were told to not pay attention to JavaScript, and then we wake up one morning and it's the hottest language on earth, and we all have to rush to learn this damn thing. So, like, these are like things that, you know, that I have to take account of when it deals with my veterans. Like, I have to, like, my goal, like, I tell people, I want to create the Navy SEALs of JavaScript developers. I want that person that, you know what, you got, your hiring manager has to have. So that way it's easier for them to, like, you know, get jobs. And I focus on the big three while teaching softer skills. We teach Git flow, how to work as a distributed team. We put every troop gets on a team. That's part of the team format. Like, the teams grow. Like, we're having a new team that we're going to have to make just around our VS Code theme. We have a VS Code theme. That's freaking crazy. like, you know, between our GitHub organization, education, CodePen, everything, I tell people all the time, like, yo, we're growing at a level that I did not, when I first did this, I just wanted to leave breadcrumbs. And now, you know, I'm doing things, like, there are things being done that I never imagined. Like, you know, having, you know, my heroes are becoming my homies, like people I literally respected and thought I would never be able to talk and communicate to with. And, you know, they helped me like make my career before I even made my career, or on my board, like Zed Shaw. Like, and a lot of people don't know that Zed was Army and he was a logistics troop, and like, you know, before he became a developer. And, you know, he wrote Mongrel, and, you know, he's the learn Ruby the hard way, learn Python the hard way, learn C the hard way. Those are books I poured over and did things in to become a better programmer. And then I ended up getting my first job in Ruby. And I'm like, yo, I'm the first person I hit up to do a Slack side chat, in which what we do is that we ask, you know, programmers that have had like different ways of getting into the industry, come and speak to the veterans. First person I like nervously ask is this dude that pretty much helped me get my first like big boy programming job. And, you know, is that Sean? He's like, oh, okay, that's cool. And he's doing it, and he's talking to the veterans, and it was so fun. Like, yo, because we didn't even know that he was a veteran until like halfway through the chat. But these are the type of things that I do. Like, it's so awesome creating an avenue to where you're in a situation, and, you know, because the veterans, they think they can't do it. But I'm like, yo, here's a veteran who, you know, he didn't do it. He like did it. He like capital D-I-D. He, you know, murdered the game. He created something open source that a bunch of people used. He wrote 3 books that hundreds of thousands of people used. Like, he did it. He was one time an E4 getting in trouble, just like you one day, like at one point in time. And now look at him. Like, yo, don't think you can't do it because he did it. Or, you know, or like, I think the biggest person, I've had Scott Hanselman come in and talk to the guys. I had the vice president of Google Cloud come in. He was an Army guy. And I was internally freaking out because I was like, yeah, this is the vice president of Google Cloud talking to my veterans. Like, yeah, people don't like look at how, like, because I'm always ice cold for the most part. But inside, I'd be like freaking out in the Vetsuko like channel. Like, I'm animated like in real life with the people I'm around, but on the internet I'm always ice cold. Like, it's cool, but I'm like, no, I was nervous the entire time. Vetsuko is a Veterans Day Slack side chat, which is like it's always the last thing we do of the year when it comes to that. We had Wes Boss like come through, and I was like, holy hell, like, yo, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do at this point, because like, yeah, this is like JavaScript Kanye coming through here. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, you know, like, is he going to drop bars for us? Like, we recorded it and everything, because I was like, yeah, I don't know. I need proof that this went down. So, like, you know, that is what, you know, we do for these guys and girls. And we do it in a manner so that way, you know, make it easier, because like my journey was all, you know, a bunch of pitfalls and stuff, and, you know, going from one direction to another. So I'm like, you know what, let's, you know, treat this like a military operation, and we're going to do this most tactical way possible. Distributed teams working together with an innate focus on only one objective and one goal. So, and it works. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It all sounds very pragmatic, and it sounds like we haven't really talked about the pedagogy behind it, but it sounds like you really look into what people need to focus on to get the most out of their time, the most out of their effort, and not really focus on the externalities behind it. Like, you're getting them well-rounded with a very, very limited amount of time. I think it was 12 weeks, right?
It's, 14. It's 14 weeks. 14? Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm tactical. I'm not a programmer. I'm not one of these, like, you know, people that just learn how to code because they, you know, picked up coding over 12 or something or some. I'm 100% tactical and mission oriented. I have no desire to waste anyone's time. And like, because I like people, but I don't like people that much. So, like, my goal is to help you, like, reach a goal or accomplish a mission, reach an objective. And I have people that come in with real missions. These people they're not here to learn how to code because they thought it was cool or because they want a job change. I have people who want to learn how to code because they want to put food on the table. The past 2 weeks, I've had 17 Coast Guard members apply for VESICO. We had never had a Coast Guard troop apply to VESICO before the whole thing that was going on in our country. So like this is like they're no longer people are literally thinking about changing careers because it's like it's no longer a viable option to serve in the manner that they want to serve. So like that's the type these are the type of things that I do then see when they come through our channel when they come into our channel with for applications. So like I was like, I told one of my colleagues, I was like, we're getting a lot of coasties. Like, this is serious to them, like what's going on in the world. And they're ready to do anything they can. And they're now not trusting what they have, what they're in, so they're prepping to get out. So and they are coming to us to help them. So that is one of the things that we focus on. Like being very mission objective, because like I said, I ended up getting out in the military. I ended up getting out of the military during a recession, and I needed this skill to put food on my own table. So I'm very mission oriented. And that is where I stay at. Like I don't care about the fluff of the industry. I care about, can you learn this well enough to get a job? And will it pay you? Like that's it. Like all right, like people talk about Go and Scala, all the time, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. But what are chances an entry level or a junior level engineer or developer getting a job doing Go or Scala?
Right.
Not very high at all. Then I don't really care about Go or Scala. Like until there's enough bandwidth in Go and Scala for entry level and junior devs to get jobs in it, it's not on my radar. People talk about things all the time. I think half the time I think developers throw technologies around just to show you how smart they are and how dedicated they are to it. And like they don't even know that like half the time I'm ignoring them because I'm like, I really don't care. So like if it isn't something that people can learn fast and help them take care of their families, I'm really not, that impressed by it. Like that's just where my stance with technology has gotten. Like, when it comes to learning it, I want it to have be fast, fast for me to teach. Just I look at it as boxing or MMA or how Wing Chun was created or Krav Maga was created. These were like I need the basic skills for people to be able to defend themselves in a short amount of time. Like Wing Chun was created to be able to make you an adept combatant within 6 months. Krav Maga was created to be able to make their army adept combatants within 3 to 4 months. MMA, the average person like 3 to 6 months of doing dedicated training in MMA, like you can handle yourself in most situations after 6 months of like 3 days a week of mixed martial arts. I'm not saying you're gonna go to the UFC. Please don't try to go to UFC after 6 months. But if you're in a bar or something, you're gonna know enough to freaking not get your butt kicked or butt kicked badly. So like that is the ideals that I approach software engineering with. I'm not here to be fancy and show that I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm here to get people paid. Like that's my mission. I'm like I'm here to make money. I'm here to help these people make money. That's it. So if it's not helping me get better so I can go to work and be a better developer for my job, and it's not helping them be better so that they can get jobs, I really don't care. And it's just, I try not to be mean to people about that, but it's the harsh reality of the business. I only, like you said, there's only 24 hours in a day. People already think I don't sleep. I can't play with every technology on earth and help people and be good at my job. I have to draw that line somewhere, and that's usually where I draw the line at.
Right. And this ability to whittle down the scope into the bare essentials and really, really focus on that is going to bleed into the cohorts. Like they are going to pick that up and they're going to be able to use that in the industry to do better at their jobs. Like
Yeah,
people don't iterate very well by nature, and you're giving them the skills to do that, which puts them ahead of the game.
we call it front sight focus. Like if you're in if you're on the range and you're looking down to your iron sight of your weapon, and you're trying to put rounds on your target downrange, you're looking at the front sight. When they're saying, you know, you have to not look at the front sight, you have to look beyond the front sight until that front sight becomes fuzzy. You have, that's how far down the line of the goal you have to look at. You have to use the front sight as the focal point, but then look and think beyond it. And that's what we call it. Like, that's what we focus on. Like, we call it front sight focus. And in the cohorts and events of code, I'm very big on that.
That sounds great. So is there anything that I neglected to ask you that you want to make sure we put out there?
All right. Well, if you have, don't mind, I have two ask if I could.
Yeah, please.
I guess my two ask is, like, my biggest ask that I think is way more like risky than the other ask is, I have veterans who are, you know, they've been programming for about a year now. They're chomping to bits. They want, you know, I have some really great kids that are good at animation, good at full stack JS, everything. And they want to start getting involved into bigger things in the community, such as talks. They want to go out there and talk, and they want to show, like, not only what they learn and how they learn to do it and things of that nature. They also want to, you know, showcase, you know, like I tell people, it's hard for people to get the idea, point of view of what veterans are when all they see is, like, you know, tall white guys. So, like, maybe I want to show them, like, hey, oh, this is a veteran too, and this is a woman, and this person writes JavaScript, and it could probably, you know, write JavaScript better than you if you're, you know, if you're sleeping on her. Like, if you're sleeping on her, she's gonna, her JavaScript's gonna be more performant than yours. So, you know, don't take her lightly. They want to get in. They want to get in talks. They want to show some of the things that they've learned and that they love and that they come to love with the web development. So if you have talks and you're looking for JavaScript engineers or younger people in the, not younger per se, but younger in the game to do those talks, please hit me up on Twitter at Jerome Hardaway and let me know. That way I can definitely, you know, I definitely point you and give you some talented people ready to, they're jumping a bit for the next level of the game. If you're, I guess we are looking for more JavaScript oriented mentors, as well as like mentors that may not be in JavaScript, but may be in, I would like to say product management, like something that's around that line of work. So if you're interested in either one of those, please apply for our mentor form, our mentorship program, on the Events of Code website.
Excellent. So where can people go to either follow what's going on with Vets of Code or Vets of Code, or going on with you personally?
Our two biggest things whenever we have really big announcements happens to be on Twitter. So either me on Twitter at Jerome Hardaway, or Vets of Code at Vets of Code. Or you can go to our Medium post. We're doing our Medium post until we finish our blog right out for Q3 with our, like, I think it's Q2 or Q3 when we're knocking out our GraphQL stuff, and we're doing the frameworks and mockups for that as well. So our troops are finishing that up. So I think it's Q2, but I gave them, that's another thing. It's crazy because I'll tell them they have something, it has to be done by like Q3, but then they'll finish it a whole quarter. When we did the rewrite of the website, they freaking, I was like, oh, you guys have like 3 months to knock out this rewrite, this website from basic static HTML to Gatsby, and they did it in a month. And I was like, okay, well, you know, damn, forget me then, right? and like Gatsby people, they found it hilarious. It's like, yeah. So I was just sitting there like, I don't have any work for you guys. So I thought it was going to be 3 months long, and you guys did it in 30 days. So like, but those, like the Medium posts until like Q2, more than likely, because these guys are already knocking stuff out and they already have the GraphQL set up. So they're just waiting on the front end mockup portion now for the blog. And those are the big three, like that we have: the Twitters, the Medium, and our website.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk to me today. It's been excellent. I'm really happy that this program exists. I'm super stoked that you are careful about your curriculum. Like, teaching is very important to me, and I love your approach to this.
Well, you know, teaching is very important. Like I say, you probably, like me, grew up in the Wild West of, you know, learning how to code and, you know, time is precious, especially when you're trying to keep people motivated, right? So you have to be very strict when it comes to your process. And I think, like I said, it also just falls into the line of the military as well. Like you know, you still, education is, people think that education is important in the military, but education is super important. How you learn is vital, because like you train how you fight. And in Vetsico, we say you train how you work. So I have to teach you in a manner that is efficient to production level working. And that's how we focus on it. So it's very serious.
Awesome. Thank you so much again. Show notes for this episode can be found at podcast.bitsandtrees.com/8.